They found the pilot. 1,200 miles away in New York, Red Queen breathed out. What do we know? More or less nothing. Hospital sweep sent up flags. Field agents in Atlanta called it in. He's in Mobile. Name of Arno Fisk? I'm headed over there now to talk to him. Condition? Cuts and bruises. Some, well, they're saying some cognitive issues. In the background, Red Queen could hear wind across the mouthpiece of the phone. Behind that, the sound of heavy traffic moving fast. Trucks pounding south on the interstate. It's not clear. He was dressed as a pilot, but he's not a pilot. There's nothing on him in the FAA database. He was unconscious for some time. What I hear... The wind picked up and the next few words were inaudible. Consciousness. I need to go. Okay, go, said Red Queen. The phone went down in its cradle. Red Queen's desk was broad and made of dark wood. The top was covered in red leather. It was out of place. It belonged among other antiques, not in this oblong box with its ozonic air conditioning and its 24-hour fake sunlight. There were no books in the room. An uncomfortable two-seat sofa against the wall faced the desk. On the other wall there was a locked cabinet. There were no windows. A corner of the leather surface of the desk looked like it had been chewed by mice. Red Queen picked at the leather with a fingernail for a moment, staring at nothing. Then Red Queen turned to the computer, waggled the mouse to bring the screen alive, and brought up the intercept to read it again. Bree, on the highway, hung up the phone on the timber wall of the snacky shack and walked round to the door. It was late morning and the sun, already hot, bounced off the dusty glass and winked at her. She'd been driving for 3 hours already. Red Queen could wait half an hour while Bree got waffles. Bree was the only person in the place, an awkward L-shape that had once been a barn or an auto shop or something. For mica tables, pairs and fours. Booths lined the window onto the highway, and Bree sat in the furthest one of those, with her back to the corner wall. She sat a while, watched the traffic tick past, waited while the waitress finished scratching in her hair with her pencil. The waitress leaned down by the chef, a good-looking Latino wearing a greasy checkered dishcloth as a bandana, and produced a laminated menu the size of an occasional table. She dropped it wordlessly in front of Bree, left, returned with a clear plastic beaker of iced water, set that wordlessly down, fished a pad from her pouch, and pointed at it expectantly, with her head scratcher. Morning, said Bree. Morning, said the waitress. Belgian waffles, she said. 3 eggs over medium, Canadian bacon, chicken sausage and sourdough toast, 2 rounds. The waitress wrote it down. You want a side of fries with that? Bree's eyes flicked up from the menu. No fries, she said, and no grits. The waitress looked at her. Bree looked back. Thank you, said Bree, and smiled sweetly. 30 minutes later, Bree was back heading south in the brown Chrysler with the windows up and the air conditioning on. And by mid-afternoon, she was rolling into Mobile. She left the interstate and took Airport Boulevard. Providence Hospital was a white building west of the center of town. Bree drove in under a quaint old archway, swung the front of the car round and parked up under a shade tree, just out of the sight line from the main entrance. She got out and the weather hit her. It was as if the humidity had tugged the leash on her breath. She'd worked up just enough of a sweat for it to chill on her, unpleasantly, when she stepped into the air-conditioned lobby. She ignored the potted palms and crossed to the desk. Visiting Fisk, room 325, she said. Helen Fisk, I called earlier. She showed the woman her ID. The woman didn't seem interested. Bree wrote Helen Fisk in the register, went to the elevator and went up. It was a nice hospital. Someone cleaned it. Her flats didn't stick. She'd been in hospitals where only people in heels, and Bree hadn't worn heels since she could remember, were really qualified to make it down the corridors.